From Acts chapter 17 is our first reading tonight from verse 24. And it's the Apostle Paul has been in the city of Athens, and he's gone all around looking at all of the statues that they have up to all of the different gods. And he has come across one statue that says, "To the unknown God." He says these words, verse 24. "God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." And the second reading is in Ephesians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says these words in chapter 2, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you please to help us to understand this subject tonight. As we have sung of justice and mercy, Lord, these two must go together. Father, in Jesus' name, give us ears to hear what you're saying to us, please. For your glory, O God. Amen. Last week we looked at the subject rejection or acceptance, and this week I'm speaking on the subject of judgment or mercy. Before we focus over the next 2 weeks on the theme of remembrance, I spoke with a guy recently who told me only the week before that he had been sentenced to prison. We're actually down in Bangor, and I bumped into him, and he said to me, "I was sentenced to prison last week." And I sort of looked, and it reminded me this day of walking up Main Street, and this big fat guy that I know had approached me, and his arms were all bandaged. And I says, "What happened to you?" He says, "Oh," he says, I committed suicide last night." So I poked him twice in the belly. He says, "Hey, how you doing?" And I says, "I just wanted to check I wasn't talking to a ghost." "What?" I says, "You said you committed suicide last night." He says, "Well, it did, look." He says, "Don't be an idiot." I says, "You attempted suicide last night." He says, "Whatever, whatever." So this guy, standing face to face, telling me I was sentenced to prison last week. Sort of, what's going on here? He was livid. I have to say, he was livid at the judge's sentence. And in colourful language, was calling the judge all manner of names. And so I asked him, "Well, look, how come if you were sentenced to prison, how come you're out walking about Bangor?" And he says, "Well," he says, "when the judge passed sentence, I immediately appealed and I was released on bail." Now, the guy said that he was guilty of all of the crimes for which the judge had sentenced him, but he hadn't expected to go to prison And so he appealed, and he has to go back to court next month to hear the outcome. And he laughed and he said to me, "The day of judgment is November the 18th. The day of judgment is November the 18th. And I replied, "Trust me, for your sake and that of many others, I certainly hope not." See, when I said I'm speaking on judgment or mercy, I don't mean judgment in the sense of a person being of sound judgment, you know, making good decisions or coming to sensible conclusions, or even someone making an error of judgment. The judgment I'm speaking about extends far beyond any fallible secular court system that my friend had been sentenced by. You see, this judgment of which I speak gives absolutely no grounds for appeal, and there will certainly be no one being released on bail. I'm speaking of the judgment of God. You see, this judgment tells us history has an end date, and it concludes with the day of judgment. And God's word in Acts 17 says that God himself has fixed or has appointed a day. If God has a diary, he knows the day that he has fixed, that he has appointed, that will be the day when we shall have to answer for everything that we have done. I'll say it again, on that day there will be no grounds for appeal. God is a righteous judge, and he has committed all judgment to his son Jesus, who will judge in righteousness. And God's word tells us the fact that Jesus is raised from the dead is proof a day of judgment is coming, when all people must give account. There are no exceptions. There will be no bail conditions, and there will be no worldly advocates or barristers or solicitors to plead on our behalf. Every word, every thought, every deed, every motive, and every desire will be brought to book. On that day, there will not be a single plea of not guilty. Hear that? On that day, there will not be a single plea of not guilty, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. On that day, there will be no excuse or defense like, "I'm not a bad person," or "I'm a good person. I give money to the poor. I help the homeless. Oh, I was baptized as a child. I was confirmed. I memorized Bible verses." Nothing anyone thinks that they can offer to appease this righteous judge will suffice. Jesus will judge in righteousness, and every person will be judged and shown just how unrighteous they really are. Believe God's word when it tells you there is none righteous. No, not one. Judgment will be delivered, and all who fail to reach God's standard of righteousness will be forever cast from his presence into hell. Now, just to give you an example of what that actually means, to be judged according to the righteousness of God, to reach God's standard, you have to measure up exactly like Jesus. Exactly like Jesus. It's impossible. Judgment will be delivered, and all who fail to reach God's standard of righteousness will be forever cast from his presence into hell. There will be no submitting of appeals. There will be no releasing on bail pending outcomes. God's judgment will be swift, and it will be final. On that day, all whoever complain saying, "Oh, if there is a God, why doesn't he intervene and deal with evil?" they will be silenced in a moment. All who declared, I refuse to believe in a God who lets such wickedness prevail, they will now believe. All who laughed and scorned the preaching of God's word will be terrified. On that day of God's righteous judgment, every slanderous mouth will be shut. Revelation says, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, and the term here in Revelation for sorcerers is pharmakia, people using drugs, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Do you hear that? The first people being cast into hell are cowards, followed by the unbelievers, the abominable, the murderers, the sexually immoral, the drug abusers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. God's judgment is to be feared. The writer to the Hebrews says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God has fixed a day when through his Son he shall judge all mankind. And yet, all mankind has sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. As in the days when the Apostle Paul spoke God's word to the Athenians, so God's word resounds today in Bangor. God commands people to repent before it's too late, before the day of judgment comes. God's judgment is to be feared, but his command is to be listened to and obeyed. Repent. So why does God command people to repent, to turn away from their sin and turn back to him? Well, firstly, he tells us every person is a sinner. There is none righteous. And the consequences of sin is death and eternal separation from God. Secondly, he makes it clear, because every person is a sinner, no one can save themselves. We will all be brought to judgment. However, as our second reading in Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, God is rich in mercy. And because of his great love with which he loved us, he has provided a way to show great mercy to sinners, to those deserving of hell. Getting back to my friend who has to return to court on the 18th of November, Judgment Day. Imagine on that day if the judge condemns him to prison and then says, you are deserving of this judgment because you've broken the law, and the law and the demands of the law must be satisfied. However, I'll take your punishment and pay for your offense. Imagine if that happened. You would read the headlines in the County Down Spectator and probably the Belfast Telegraph. Judge satisfies law, prisoner goes free. Or judge is bonkers. Why does God command people to repent, to turn away from their sin and turn back to him? Because he is rich in mercy. And because of his great love with which he loved us, he has provided a way to show great mercy to sinners who deserve hell. God sent his Son Jesus into the world to suffer God's righteous judgment for sin and to bear the punishment for us. It is as if Jesus is coming to say, you deserve to be sentenced to death and hell, but I'm going to take your punishment for you. By his death on our behalf, the sinless Son of God satisfied the demands of God's law and paid our debt in full. And now God commands all sinners, repent and believe, and I will show you mercy and forgiveness. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve, but instead, if we repent, turn around, and believe Jesus paid our debt, then God will show us great mercy and grant us forgiveness of sins, acceptance with him, and everlasting life. God's judgment is to be feared. I'll say it again. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Those who remain in their sin, ignoring God's command to repent and believe that he might show you mercy, you are in danger of the coming judgment and the eternal separation from God in hell. Listen, to ignore God's command is to shun his mercy. And to shun God's mercy is to shun his only means of salvation. God is a righteous judge, and you are a sinner deserving of hell. But God is also rich in mercy. His mercies, we're told, are new every morning. Now, if you have a diary and you go through it, there's an every morning, there's an every morning, there's an every morning. But God has a diary and has a day fixed, which will be the day of judgment. That will be the last day. There will be no mercies after that. But his mercies are new every morning now, and he wants us to receive his mercies. And so I urge us tonight to take heed of God's command and obey. Repent and believe, and God will show you mercy and forgiveness. You see, it doesn't matter how vile your sin may be. It doesn't matter how distant from God you may think you are. Many of us knew what that condition was like, to be cut off from the life of God, to be under the condemnation of God, living in that sense with the wrath of God coming down upon us. And yet God, who is rich in mercy, sent the Spirit of God to us to speak to us, and he opened up our understanding of our need to be saved, and we repented and believed. And guess what? We found out that God is rich in mercy, and that those mercies are new every morning, and that we received forgiveness for sins, and we were accepted by God, and we have everlasting life, and we will never experience hell because of Jesus. So please tonight listen. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, particularly when he has warned us there is a day of judgment coming. Repent, that I might show you great mercies and forgiveness and love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we want to thank you that you are rich in mercy, that your mercies are new every morning, and they're always directed toward us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that because you loved us and sent your Son Jesus into this world to die on our behalf, he has provided a way that you who are righteous could show mercy to sinners and grant us forgiveness, because Jesus paid our debt in full. Thank you for those who know you and love you, that we are guaranteed that we will never see hell. Lord, tonight we want you to know we are eternally grateful. But Lord, for others, our loved ones who don't know you, others, Lord God, out in the communities around about, who are dead in their sins, dead to you, who do not understand, Lord, that there is a day of judgment coming when they will have to give account. We pray, Father, for them, that just as you so graciously and mercifully extended, Lord God, your love to us and sent your Spirit, Lord God, to open our eyes and our ears to the gospel of Jesus Christ, so we pray that you would extend the same grace and mercy to them, O God, and let your Spirit open up their eyes and their ears, that they could see Jesus and that they would repent, so that you, Lord God, who are rich in mercy, might show them great mercies and forgiveness and acceptance in and through your beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.